World Water Day was March 22nd. Around the globe and for 30 years, this day focuses on the importance of fresh water, celebrating what we have, and raising awareness of people living without access to safe water. In Welland, we have two canals running through the city, and our proximity to Lake Ontario, and frankly all the Great Lakes, gives us little to think about when it comes to accessing water. But from the lakes and rivers to the comforts of our homes, how exactly does this process work? How do we know our drinking water is safe to consume? For that, we rely on experts like our guest today, James Stika, the City of Welland's Manager of Public Works. So let's raise a glass with James and find out what's up, Welland. So with us today is James Stika, our new manager of Public Works. James, you joined us a month ago now?
Just about a month. We're not quite there yet.
Okay, so just almost a month old in the role, and he's the guy to talk to us about all things water today. So James, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here and excited to talk about water today.
How often have you said that?
A lot, because it's my job.
All right, well, that's good. Good that you're excited to talk about water, because again, that is the focal piece of the episode today. So let's start with drinking water, right? We turn on our tap, we throw a glass underneath, or we stand under the shower, whatever it is. And we just kind of, I don't know, for me, I think we just take it for granted that we have clean available water to us. But obviously that's not exactly the case. It goes through some type of process to get from wherever into our tap. So can you tell us a little bit about kind of how that process works, how our water gets delivered to us in a clean and safe manner?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, drinking water itself, it requires in this area the working of two individual teams. So the team at Niagara Region and our team here at City of Welland. The team at Niagara Region is in charge of treating the water. And from there, the water is passed through a series of transmission mains. So if you want to picture a tree, for example, the transmission mains are kind of like a trunk. And our city mains, we call them distribution mains. They're kind of like the branches that go and feed the leaves and the little branches and kind of spread out across the community. So we're in charge of the distribution system. So that is taken from the local streets, provided to our residents, our businesses, and our community. And the region really takes care of the treatment process and kind of getting the water through larger diameter pipes to our smaller pipes. And then we can spread it out to our customers.
So what would the roots be? Would that be the body of water that
exactly,
all this?
Yeah. So the roots would be the canal here. And then from there, the water is treated at the Welland Water Treatment Plant. The treatment process itself is pretty involved. It involves some screening for zebra mussels, because there's zebra mussels in the canal, screening for, you know, leaves, sticks, debris, things that you see floating in the canal. We want those out before it actually enters the plant. From there, it goes through some chemical treatment, a little bit of pre-chlorination, not the same type of chlorine you use in your pool, for example, but a much different product. From there, it goes through some coagulation and flocculation. So what that is taking little particles that we can't really see in the water. We don't want those in there. So we add this chemical coagulation agent. And what it does is create these little kind of, if you imagine popcorn kernels, of little tiny white things that float through the water through the treatment process. And what it does is grab on little specks of suspended solids. And then they settle over time through the treatment process, and they hang out in the bottom of a filtration tank. And then from there, that settled out water goes through some more filtration, through some more chlorination, and ultimately a UV treatment system into our taps.
Wow, that is a process, and definitely taken for granted, because I don't think of any of that when I turn a tap on. James, how long does it...
Hang on. Sorry, Paul. I got to jump in, because zebra mussels. All I could think about when you said that was, like, you know, the videos of, like, the jacked kangaroos that you see, like, with, you know, yeah, you get, yeah. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. So when we say zebra mussels, we're talking about, like, the muscle in that, like, a shell.
No, super jacked zebras. Like, they're actually out.
Even better.
Yeah. No,
it's, see, if we had those in Welland, I think that's a whole new attraction.
Absolutely.
But that's what we're talking about, right? Like an actual,
it's
like
an invasive species here that came through the ships through the Great Lakes. And have settled in the Great Lakes area now. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that the folks at the region have to deal with is at the end of their intake pipes is buildup of zebra mussels. And it's not unique to Welland. It happens in other jurisdictions within the region. But it just kind of speaks to how delicate our environment is when an invasive species is introduced and the things we have to do to mitigate that. invasive species.
Interesting. It is. Paul, sorry to cut you off, but I got really stuck on zebra mussels.
That's okay. Is there any getting rid of the zebra mussels, or it's just working the process around something that's there indefinitely?
That's pretty much it. I'm not aware of what can be done necessarily, but it's such a wide problem that, you know, you can't just go and dredge every body of water that we have locally to remove the zebra mussel. So it's something that we have to live with and work around. And it just kind of speaks to, you know, why when we fly to other countries, they check our luggage super carefully, because that introduction of that, you know, maybe a grasshopper in my luggage may cause damage somewhere else.
Wow. What I was going to ask before is, from the water leaving the canal to when it's drinkable, how long, I mean, the process you just described, how long does that take?
A couple of hours. Like, we're talking, you know, 4 to 6, 8 hours. It ultimately depends on what the usage is downstream as well. So the plant kind of operates based on what the demand system is. So, you know, if there is a fire out in the system, the plant knows based on some of its technology that there's usage taking place. So then we need to produce more water to kind of keep up pressure and volume. So there's quite a bit of paying attention to kind of having your pulse on the system. So there's quite a bit of technology out in our system right now, and the region has this as well, that, you know, advises us how much water is being used. Is there an increase in demand? So increase in demand results in increase in production of water. And then the treated water can sit in storage as well. So it's, you know, when I turn on my tap, it's not like somebody at the plant is all of a sudden filtering water just for me. It sits in a variety of storage vessels we have around the city. So kind of depending on usage, the treatment process can be adjusted from there.
Wow.
But there's definitely a minimum amount of treatment to make sure it meets all of our ministry requirements, our accreditation requirements. There's a lot of work that goes into making that water at your tap available.
Do you think it would surprise people that the water we are drinking is from the canals that run through our city?
I think it would, to a certain extent. But if you stopped and kind of took a look and looked around us, we're pretty lucky. We're surrounded by water in this region. Some of the largest lakes, you know, in Canada, if not the world, in terms of fresh water supply. So, you know, if you said to somebody on the street, maybe, hey, where do you think your water comes from? They might not have the answer right away, but if you give them a couple minutes, I bet they'd come to it pretty quick.
So for those places that, I mean, we are fortunate, we are surrounded by the Great Lakes, we are surrounded by water. The places that are not, where does their water come from?
So we have surface water, it's called. So it's water that you can see, whether it's, you know, the Niagara River, Welland River, canal, the lake itself. Places inland that don't have access to freshwater lakes, they have to rely on groundwater. So they rely on a series of well systems. And those well systems are based on the aquifer recharging, groundwater, rain, snow melt. So a lot of things that are out of the control of the municipality. So some jurisdictions more inland in central Ontario might have more restrictive use. So maybe in the heat of summer, you know, even number houses can water their grass and odd numbers can't, things like that, to make sure that water's being used in a judicious way.
Is there any greater benefit, or, I mean, other than maybe having quicker, easier access as a municipality surrounded by water, is there any major difference between the kind of the surface water, groundwater availability for people?
So in terms of at the end user, places in central Ontario and kind of, you know, near around the Guelph area, sometimes they do have restricted water use depending on what the groundwater situation is like. So, you know, July and August, the last few years, we've had these really bad dry spells. So, you know, I look at my garden, I see my garden has all sorts of cracks and fissures inside in the soil because everything's starting to dry out. Well, that same thing happens underground where the rain hasn't happened in a while. We're not getting the groundwater recharging. You know, it's not to the point where someone won't be able to turn on their tap, but jurisdictions have to be aware of how much raw water, it's called, so water prior to treatment, is available, to make sure that they can educate their customers and their users to use that water judiciously. And then as, you know, wet seasons happen, then maybe those restrictions are lifted. So really every municipality who's in that type of situation has a series of policies and procedures that kind of dictate usage of water during certain conditions or certain times of the year. And it's all for everyone's benefit and use at the end of the day. It's just making sure that we can all have access to it.
So no matter what, regardless, groundwater, surface water, there is a treatment mechanism in place
Absolutely.
That filters everything, all the bad stuff out. So that, again, when we turn on our taps and we, you know, put a glass underneath or fill up our Brita's or whatever else,
we don't have to think about any of that.
But just in terms of, you know, as I said, the word Brita, just, you know, as a type of water filtration, our drinking water, we can just put a glass under our tap and drink. It's safe. It's clean, right?
In Ontario, water is extremely heavily regulated. So, for example, what we do on an annual basis is we have a series of criteria we have to follow in terms of the numbers of samples we have to take on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. The region at the treatment plant still has to do a similar thing. So it's a multi-barrier approach, it's called, by the province. So at the treatment process, they have equipment that tests the water continuously throughout the treatment process to make sure it's meeting their specs and criteria. Once it hits our system, we have a series of checks and testing that we do daily, weekly, monthly to make sure it hits our criteria. Those results are reported to the province. Annually, a Minister of the Environment, Conservation and Parks inspector comes by. That inspector checks our records, does a full inspection to make sure we're in compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. On top of that, we're also third-party accredited. So the province of Ontario is one of the few jurisdictions, if not the only jurisdiction in Canada, with a quality management system for drinking water. So we have our regulations, which are our laws. One of the laws through the province of Ontario is to require that water has a quality management system in place. And that quality management system is to make sure our documentation's in order, our procedures are up to date, our mapping and our infrastructure are being updated on an annual basis and a regular basis. And that process is also audited by a third-party auditor that comes in once a year. So we're inspected, we're audited. All of our results are reported to the province. They're reported to council, available for the public to see. So the water, you know, no pun intended, is a very transparent process. And to make sure it's safe for everybody. So whether it's my baby at home or my dog or my cat or myself, you know, feel free just to put your glass under your tap and go to town.
So it sounds like if there was ever an issue with water quality, there are enough checks and balances in place that not only would it be flagged, but it would, you know, have a lot of different eyes and hands working to resolve whatever issue may have come up.
Right? Absolutely.
So I think that's probably another safety piece or comfort piece.
Reassurance.
Yeah. Thank you. That people could kind of take home with them, knowing that, I don't want to say there's never a need to worry, but if anything ever came up, it would probably be detected pretty early in that process.
Very early. And there's a very rigorous reporting process that if you don't follow that process, there are some severe ramifications. So, you know, if something, we were to find something in a test, the reporting process is pretty clear in what we have to do and who we notify. And then the steps you take in order to correct that action as well. So in terms of policies, procedures, and how we do business, you know, extreme confidence in the water system. I would say there is nothing to worry about, and water, you know, you don't think about it. And that's great, because at the end of the day, I would
that means it's working.
Just yeah. turn on your tap by all means. And that's great news to me.
James, I mean, the word process really underlies everything to do with water. How many people are on your team? How many people have a hand in making it possible for us to put a cup under the sink, refresh our thirst, and get on with our day?
Here at the city, we have a large team, and it's not just the folks you see out in the field with the high-vis clothing on, making repairs. It's our office staff who take customer inquiries and assist with that. We have water quality technicians here. We have a variety of well-trained supervisors. And I guess part of the other thing as well is, in order to work on water in Ontario, it's not like you can just, you know, decide that today I'm going to go work on a water main. You have to follow a series of testing criteria, examinations, continual education. So not only is the water inspected annually, audited annually, the staff who work on the water as well are very qualified individuals. They take our job very seriously. We need to have certain certificates in order to perform certain types of work on the water system. So, you know, the treatment process is regulated, our reporting is super regulated, and those who actually perform the work also have to follow a certain series of regulations and criteria in order to do that work. So, like I said, a very multi-barrier approach to making sure that water is safe for everybody to drink.
Is it ever?
Wow. We got two more questions for you. The last one, of course, being the most important on What's Up Welland. But before we get to that one, just as we kind of close out, do you have any tips or suggestions for responsible water usage? I guess even, you know, we are all, I think, ready for summer. We are looking forward to the warm weather and the heat. And you had mentioned earlier about, you know, some municipalities, you know, whether it's odd and even houses being able to water the lawn on different days. What can we do here in the city in terms of just being a responsible water usage?
That's a good question. So I mean, there's a lot of things you can do at home to pay attention to how much water you're using. You can go down to your basement and look at your meter on a regular basis. There's a little device on your meter that if it's spinning, but no one in the house is using water, that means you have a leak. You can call us down at Public Works and we can help walk you through that process and kind of address that issue with you.
That's good to know. You see those stories on the news all the time. $30,000 water bill and it was because of a leak.
It happens, right? Absolutely. And then other things, you know, I'm sure all our parents would kick us when, you know, we turned on the, left the tap running while we're brushing our teeth. So obviously you shut that off. But it's some other things too, like you said, as summer's coming, everybody wants that nice green grass. If you're going to water your grass, that's great. Just let it soak. Let that water penetrate, you know, leave the sprinkler on there for a while. So you're actually soaking the roots and letting those roots grow deep into the soil. That promotes a healthy lawn. If you kind of just, you know, spray the top of it, you're not really making your grass any stronger, so it won't be drought resistant or anything like that. The other thing you can do is check the forecast. I'm sure we've all seen driving down the street, it's pouring rain and someone's irrigation lines are on. So check the forecast. You know, maybe get an app on your phone that helps control your sprinkler system. So if it is raining, you see at home and you're at work, you can push a button and shut that off. So, you know, you're saving yourself a little bit of money. We're not wasting water that way, and we're letting Mother Nature do its job.
Perfect. No, I think that'll be helpful for, I know for me in the summer, if my neighbor's lawns are all kind of brown, then it's nice because I don't have to worry about trying to keep up with the neighbors next door. But that's good to know to let it really soak in and you know, don't just throw a sprinkler on for 5-10 minutes because that's really not going to do much other than waste water.
Exactly. You want to promote good root health, and the deeper your roots go, the stronger they are, and the stronger they are, the more drought resistant and the less time you actually have to spend watering. So it's all kind of a nice cycle there.
Well, James, this is my favorite question of the show. Pineapple on your pizza, sir. Yes or no?
Yes, with a caveat. So it's not just straight pineapple. Pineapple and cheese I couldn't do.
Okay.
And it can't be the crushed pineapple where you're getting kind of like that, you know, mushy stuff on there. Drained chunks, but you got to have hot peppers on it. So you get the sweet, you get the heat.
Interesting.
Good balance.
That is by far the most specific response we've had.
Yes, it was definitely not a yes or a no, but I like the caveat. Thank you.
I care about pizza quite a bit.
Nothing wrong with that.
As do we.
Yeah. Well, James, again, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the team. 1 month, almost 1 month in, hopefully many, many more to come. And certainly as topics continue to arise on What's Up Welland in terms of public works, we'll definitely have you back. So thanks again.
It was awesome. Appreciate your time, guys.
James, thank you.
Thanks.
So now it's time to bridge the gap. And one of the big takeaways for me, or I guess one of the things I appreciated, Paul, the most out of our conversation with James today was how he was able to take a very technical process with water treatment and filtration and everything that is involved with getting water from a lake, river, et cetera, and through our taps. And he was able to share that with some examples that made a lot of sense, right? He talked about, you know, the popcorn kernel, absorbing or attracting some of the solids to stick to it to help clean it. He talked about, you know, how, you know, thinking of a tree, right? The trunk is the main line and the branches are the city lines and the roots are the water, et cetera. You know,
very visual.
Very visual,
easy,
right?
Easy to picture, easy to identify with.
Yeah, and that was really helpful, again, in an otherwise very technical episode, which, as we've talked about, is kind of our part of our self-imposed mandate with what we're doing, right, is sharing municipal processes, which I think James did a great job of doing today.
He certainly did. I took comfort in how many pieces are in place to keep the water safe and just that reassurance that between provincial regulations and regional and municipal regulations and just the number of very intelligent, very well-trained people are aware of what's going on with our water supply and doing what they have to keep it safe. And I guess there's great peace of mind to know that what comes out of our taps is drinkable the moment it hits our glass.
And the rigorous reporting structure,
yes,
too, right? If anything is kind of flagged, it's flagged early and there's a whole
and process. They adapt and they they are ready to act.
Yeah, which is great. And again, like you said, it's a great comfort in knowing. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. And as always, engagewellin.ca is the place you can leave us a message or share some future episode ideas, which is actually where this episode idea came from. So we appreciate that. Continue to do so. And we will catch you next time on What's Up Welland.
Until then.